Strathersheim is a, I would say, a small town very close to Frankfurt in Germany. I think something about 30,000 people living here. It has grown over the last 15 years massively, and we're in the most condensed area of whole Germany.
Holger Sachs is an IT guy and a family man. He works for an investment company and he's father to two kids and a little old dog. He lives in Hattersheim. That's the small town he's describing. It's about 9 miles west of Frankfurt in central Germany. And as far as small towns go, Holger says, Hattersheim is a perfectly good place to live. But it's not exactly pretty.
Our city is not really well known for being beautiful. It's like, okay, if you cannot find anything else, then go here, but that's not really nice.
But there is one pretty patch. On the edge of town, bordered on one side by a leafy cemetery and on another by the main road into town.
It's like a very nice location.
It's a wide expanse of wild, grassy vegetation, about 18 acres in size.
It looks very nice. There were some trees and gardens and all.
It's a scrap of nature in a built-up, busy area. In spring, it burns such a brilliant, luminous yellow with the blossoming of the rapeseed, you can see it from miles away.
And this was a really nice, let's say, entrance point to our city. And even people visiting me said, oh, I was not aware that it looks so nice in your area. This is really beautiful.
Local residents like Holger were proud of this patch. Not only that, it was specially reserved for agriculture, for green space, and to preserve special climate and groundwater functions. So, strictly for nature. No business but that of the bees allowed. But not long ago, that changed.
And then it all started somehow.
The area, the local council voted, would be rezoned from natural to industrial.
And now they're really destroying this beautiful area.
The long grasses are gone, so too the wildflowers and the trees that once shaded the northern flank. Now, in place of this scrap of nature, behind tall, mesh-covered construction fences, thunders a roaring mess of trucks, of machines and men. Digging, drilling, dirt moving. They're busy making way for something big. Something suddenly in enormous demand. And so Hattersheim, this small and otherwise unremarkable German town, has found itself on the front line of a global race.
That's where I said, no, I need to do something against it.
This is the beginning of a new industrial revolution, and this industrial revolution is about the production not of energy, not of food, but the production of intelligence.
We're in an arms race here. We're running. We're running like hell.
It does feel like it's going very fast.
We will spare no effort to make Europe an AI continent. This is the great mission of our time.
This is the future, we're told, of economic growth, of innovation. And we'd better not get left behind.
Tech companies are spending billions of dollars to build data centers around the country to power AI.
So what happens when this race hits the ground, here in Europe? I'm Charlie Shield, and in this two-part series from Living Planet, we're digging into the data center boom in Germany, Europe's biggest data center hub. This is episode one.
Hello.
Hi, Svenja.
Yeah, lovely to meet you.
I've come to this small town, Hattersheim, in central Germany, to meet another resident here. She's a colleague of Holger's. They've been working together to fight the rezoning, and she agreed to show me around today. Her name is Svenja, Svenja Stöber.
Should I take my shoes off?
Oh, it's fine. Do you want to go straight away to the construction site?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, sure.
Up to you.
Because I
also have meshes on. Okay, perfect.
When you exit Svenja's little white block of flats, you can turn right towards the town centre, or you can turn left towards the very edge of Hattersheim, where that green patch once sat. It's about 150 metres down the road. Since builders began work there in January 2026, Svenja's been avoiding turning left. Not today, though.
First time for me that I'm walking here. during the construction because it breaks my heart. Mm. I can't recognize the area anymore, actually. So if I'm gonna cry...
As we get closer, the rumble of trucks and machinery gets louder. Peeking over the steel fence barricades, it looks like any ordinary industrial construction site. There are piles of dirt, rocks, a large demountable container. There's not much to see yet. Workers have a long way to go. Here, eventually, will stand a data center campus.
And all those residents here, they will look then on the data center. It will be way.
The company building it is NTT Data, a Japanese multinational IT firm. It actually already owns and operates another data center campus a few miles away in town.
Let's maybe cross the other.
We reach a different vantage point on the other side of the site, and it's from here that I can see just how large the site really is.
Coming up to a little bakery, and so
now you can.
Oh wow! Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we're standing in front of a roundabout, and in the distance we can see the construction site in its full glory, I would say. So yeah, it's quite enormous. And
they're planning to build 5 centres here, at 25 metres high each, which is roughly the height of an 8-storey building, up to 110 metres long and 46 metres deep. This campus will be a sizable addition to the town's existing fleet of 7 data centres. The town's mayor, Klaus Schindling, who's a member of the Conservative Christian Democrats Party and also sits on the board of the German Data Centre Association himself, said this is all part of a plan. One to make Hattersheim a smart digital city. Hattersheim sits smack bang in the middle of a data center hotspot in Germany. There are currently over 2,000 data centers nationwide, with many more in the pipeline. And about a quarter of them are located in and around Frankfurt. Mostly because, in addition to having a bunch of big banks and a giant international airport, Frankfurt is also home to a big, fat internet node.
It's the D-Kix, it's called. And if you are 20 kilometers range to this internet node, then you have transmission with zero loss. So you have kind of almost in real-time transmission of data. It's super, super fast.
Super, super fast internet. That's Indra Jungblut. She's a tech and sustainability journalist based in Berlin. And she's been tracking Germany's data center boom with a close eye.
And then I think what is also, it's called the data gravity, which means that if you build a data center, most companies don't have just one data center at one place, but they have like 2, 3, 4 to also be able to transfer data easily. And this is, yeah, what's happening in Frankfurt.
Indra has spent the last 15 years on the tech beat, watching tech trends come and go. Things that felt paradigm shifting at the time, but were eventually eclipsed by the next big thing.
I remember, for example, this blockchain trend where everyone started to do something with blockchain because blockchain seemed to be like this new great revolutionary technology. Nowadays, there are not so many people talking more about blockchains.
But what's happening right now feels different. Not because of a lack of hype exactly, but because of the sheer scale and speed of the physical infrastructure being built. Because of the race.
In Frankfurt, they have like data centers can be built only in industrial areas, but like every little tiny bit of space that there is already owned by data centers. If you want to have a piece of land in an industrial area, there's no chance. And they can like prices no one else can pay.
Since 2010, data center capacity in Germany has more than doubled. And by 2030, it's expected to almost double again, set to reach nearly 5,000 megawatts of computing capacity. Germany might have the most data centers in Europe, but it's still far fewer than the world's leading data center hub, the United States, which houses almost half the world total, nearly 5,000 data centers and counting. That is thanks in no small part to the big tech companies that are based there. The Googles, Amazons, Microsofts, and Metas of the world.
Big tech is on track to spend $2.9 trillion building data centers.
OpenAI launched construction of a new data center in Greenville, Tennessee, on top.
Tech giant Meta plans to spend $13 billion to build an AI-focused data center.
Meantime, Meta shares are jumping today on news it'll build out a new cloud business. Let's get back to Julia Borsten.
Amazon is making big moves in North Carolina.
The world's data center fleet has been growing fast for the past couple of decades, as cloud computing, streaming services, and smartphone usage have all ballooned. But in the last several years, since about late 2022, the build-out has struck a manic pace.
The world is gearing up to make a huge investment in Korea.
$1 to build a data center just outside of
London.
Google says it plans to build
a tiny Christmas island.
$9 data center in Greenwood.
Data centers are often described as the backbone of our digital lives. All those photos we take and save in the cloud, the steps we track, the websites we surf, the questions we fire off, the Google Docs we write in, the podcasts we stream. It all has to exist somewhere, to happen somehow. And that somewhere and that somehow is data centers. But we've been doing all of that for a while now. And though it's been growing, the cloud is far from new. So why is it all of a sudden getting so, so much bigger?
I think the topic changed the moment generative AI started.
AI. And not just any AI, but generative AI, to be specific.
Like we always talk about, because of AI, we have this data center build out, because AI needs more data centers. But actually, it's mostly just generative AI that needs all these data centers.
Generative AI is the stuff produced by large language models, like OpenAI's ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, and Anthropic's Claude. These models generate new text, images, videos, music, based on what they've learned from the oodles of content that they've been trained on. That generation, that involves processing billions of data across vast data sets, requiring thousands of GPUs to calculate probabilities simultaneously. That's different to a lot of traditional AI software or regular internet computer stuff, and powering it requires a whole lot more compute. Basically, when you send your request to a large language model like ChatGPT, it heads to a data center, where it sets off a cascade of computations on hundreds of servers at once. Seconds later, voila, you have an answer. With this new technology, data center has taken on a whole new meaning. And tech companies are in a race to build them. In the first 3 months of this year alone, those four companies I mentioned earlier, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, they spent over $130 billion, mostly on building data centers. That is a casual $43 billion a month. Investments in generative AI are soaring to such a degree that analysts predict demand for data center capacity could almost triple by 2030.
They need AI and AI and AI. It's always mostly about AI. And this is why we need those data centers in Germany.
We'll be back after this short break.
I'm Amy Scott, host of How We Survive, a podcast about the messy business of climate solutions. To a lot of people, geoengineering might seem like a dangerous, outlandish way to play God. But some are embracing this sci-fi-inspired approach as a solution to the climate crisis. Listen to How We Survive on your favorite podcast app.
And we're back. So, data centers have existed among us for some time, often hiding in nondescript warehouses on the outskirts of town or relegated to industrial zones. But now there are more and more of them, they're getting closer and closer to where people live. And that is not always going down well.
So, we were hit by surprise, I would say. So, 2 or 3 years ago, right? So, and then we, by accident, just found out that they will build something here in our neighborhood.
Holger Sachs again, from Hattersheim, I'm talking to him and Svenja on Zoom, back before my visit.
When we found out, Svenja started her petition here.
Svenja jumped into action. She started a petition against the data center campus proposal, citing fears of noise pollution, water contamination, and irreversible degradation to the local natural environment. She collected 1,500 signatures from local residents and handed it to the mayor.
But at the end, they didn't care. They said, okay, we will do this anyway.
On July 3rd, 2024, the regional association approved to rezone the area from a natural to industrial zone by majority vote. That was an essential step to achieve planning approval for the data center.
And unfortunately, our local, I would say the majority of the people in this local parliament, they are from one party, and this party is led by our mayor, who is actually in the German Data Center Association, right? He is in the board of this.
Svenja has since formed a local citizens group in opposition to the project. BINA, it's called, for short. It stands for Citizens Initiative for Nature Conservation. 10 local residents sit on the board of this group. In between their day jobs, they organise meetings, share information, and they try to get the word out. Data centres are not welcome here. Svenja, who lives with her mother, about 150 metres up the road from the proposed centre, she said the stress from the construction noise, the loss of their green oasis, and the fear of what's to come are taking a mental and physical toll.
Sometimes I said goodbye to my hometown, actually, already. Okay, now I'm crying. Because sometimes I think I don't want to live here anymore. Not with that Stadtpolitik.
But not everyone is opposed to this particular data center campus. Even Svenja's direct neighbors who live in the same building.
I don't understand it. We have a good connection, actually. But they are all not interested in supporting us because they say, yeah, the Bürgermeister promised Fernwärme.
Some of them, she explains, are hoping to benefit from the waste heat generated by the centres. Something that's been proposed to be delivered to the surrounding community, reducing monthly heating bills. Svenja is not convinced. She's sceptical about the technical feasibility of connecting old houses to such a heating system. And she also fears that, in order to pay for it, property taxes would likely increase. Plus, she doesn't trust the mayor or the company, for that matter. Last year, the citizens group filed a lawsuit challenging the rezoning. The case is now before the courts. But because the lawsuit doesn't automatically stop construction, down the road, NTT Data is forging ahead. If the citizens group wins its case, that construction will have to stop.
They try to push it forward as fast as they actually can to make a statement like, we want to do this and we are going to do this, and no matter what you citizens are saying.
Svenja, Holger and their citizens initiative are not alone.
Protesters rallying today outside of a proposed data center in Saline Township.
Hundreds marched from the Vancouver Art Gallery towards City Hall, calling for two planned AI data centers to be stopped.
So there's growing backlash from communities across the country worried about energy use, water and quality of
life. As data center construction surges around the world, so too does opposition towards it. Communities living near these projects are complaining of noise pollution, strained power grids, rising utility bills, stretched water supplies, more fossil fuels, and the sheer scale of what is being built. And increasingly, they're taking developers to court. Since 2020, legal challenges against data centres have risen sharply. In the US alone, local opposition is estimated to have blocked or delayed roughly $64 billion worth of data centre projects. At a time, as it turns out, is just one small part of a much bigger story. Before I leave Svenja and Hattersheim, I ask her if we can take a quick trip into town. There's something else I want to see. Standing in front of the construction zone earlier, at the end of Svenja's street, I could see that it was big, but it was hard to imagine what's to come. During my research, I'd seen some AI-generated visualizations of the data center that the company, NTT Data, was building. But still, I couldn't really picture it. I'd never seen a data center up close.
Also an der Straße entlang sieht man auf jeden Fall die Daten, die Rechencenter.
Out here, in the former Chocolate Quarter, a short drive from Svenja's Street, is NTT Data's original data center campus in Hattersheim. Frankfurt 4, it's called. Data centers are, by design, quite nondescript. But I'll describe what I saw anyway. Before us rose not just one, not two, but five buildings with jet black facades, surrounded by tall, high security metal fences. Stark, anonymous, enormous. To be there, next to one of these things, and to walk around its periphery, gives you a sense of the scale of this build-out, of the digital universe we're building. My brain felt like it was short-circuiting, trying to imagine just how many computer chips this thing could hold. I really wanted to go inside, but you can't exactly just knock on the door. The weeks prior, I'd been trying to organise a visit. I wanted to see one of these things from the inside, to better understand the industry story, to see what sustainable data center operations look like. But even though many of them offer tours on their websites, I kept getting knocked back from data center companies. They said they were busy, or after initial enthusiasm, they changed their minds due to internal considerations. Then, an email arrived. NTT Data would be pleased to invite me on a tour of their facility. Thursday, 2 p.m., Hattersheim. So, see you there, in part two of The Cloud Comes to Town, from Living Planet. This Living Planet miniseries was created by me, Charlie Shield, and Neil King. It was written by me, a human, not a robot, and it was edited by Neil King. And I can attest that he, too, is human. If you rate this Living Planet episode, you could make us so happy by leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube. And if you'd like to reach us directly, you can email us at livingplanet@dw.com. Or you can leave us a voice note at speakpipe.com/livingplanet. See you next week.